Our lesson tonight is on insurance. I remember running into a girl that Kevin went to high school with, and she said, what did Kevin major in college? I said, insurance. She said, oh, how boring. Yes, it is rather boring, but it's an area. I like to put a lesson on insurance in this because it's an area where we can save some money if we know what we're doing. And sometimes it can get a little bit complicated, but there's some types of insurance that you don't even need. So we want to learn about those types of insurance and then find out what we do need. Let's first start with some scriptures. The first one is on the first page of Lesson 6, page 54, 1 Timothy 5:8. Who has 1 Timothy 5:8? Speak loudly, please.
Now, if anyone does not provide for his own relatives, and especially for his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
Okay, and I think this is a relevant scripture for insurance because in our advanced society, it's a necessity to have insurance. All right, the second passage is on that same page, Ecclesiastes 5, 13 and 14. Okay, so wealth lost through some misfortune and those kinds of things happen, and that's what we're doing when we insure ourselves is against misfortune. And then page 56, a couple of pages over, Proverbs 13, 22. Okay, notice it says that a good man leaves an inheritance not just to his children, but to his grandchildren, his children's children. Well, insurance is all about risk. And what is risk? Risk is uncertainty of outcome. Why should we buy insurance? Well, there are several reasons, but the main reason is to protect your assets. And to replace your assets if you lose them. And what is your most important asset? Can anybody tell me what your most important asset is?
Your health.
Yes, your health is certainly very important. But probably the most important asset that you have is your earning power. And there's two ways to protect your earning power. You can either self-insure, have enough cash available so that you can replace an asset if you lose it. And for some of us, especially if we're young, that would be very difficult to do. Or you can buy insurance. And we need to keep in mind that we can't insure everything. People who are in the business of selling insurance want to sell us insurance for everything imaginable. But you can't insure everything, although some people have tried. Like Ken Dodd, who is a famous comedian, he has his buck teeth insured for $7.5 million. There's a 13-year-old yo-yo champion who has his hands insured. A guy has his walrus mustache insured. Now, the one we remember is Betty Grable, the famous actress, 20th Century Fox, insured for each one of her legs for $1 million apiece. And then there's the food critic who insured his taste buds for $400,000. Bruce Springsteen's voice is insured for $6 million. A washboard player named Charles McDevitt has his fingers insured, but the one that really gets me is Jennifer Lopez. Her rear end is insured for $1 billion. Now, if you didn't know what a rating agency was last week, I bet you know what a rating agency is this week. We've heard all about Standard & Poor's rating service. The one you need to be concerned with about insurance is AM Best. That's the rating agency that rates insurance companies. So before you sign on the dotted line, before you get the insurance, check with AM Best and find out what kind of rating the insurance company has. Now, I can't teach a lesson about insurance without telling you about State Farm. When I married, my husband had State Farm insurance, and my mother would not let me drive until I was 18 years old. I was very impulsive, and she knew that she didn't need to put me behind the wheel of a car. So she just said, you're not driving until you're 18. Well, 6 months before I left to go to college, you know, I got my driver's license, and I drove a few times, and then I went off to college. And back then, for those of you that don't know, back then in the 60s, when you went off to college, you weren't allowed to carry a car with you. The college wouldn't let you. So I didn't have a car to carry with me anyway. But I was gone for that year. And then my parents moved to Ocala, Florida when I was a freshman in college. And I transferred to a junior college down there. And then 6 months later, I got married. So I had 6 months of driving every once in a while, and then 6 months, a year later, of driving every once in a while, we got married, and then I got a job in Atlanta, and I commuted about 25 miles into Atlanta. My husband began counting the wrecks that I had. He says there were 8. I lost count. But every time I would have a wreck, I mean, I had some major wrecks, and then I had some fender benders. I remember getting a job in Atlanta as the secretary to the president of a company in Atlanta, and I was so excited about the job. And the first week I was there, I hit a department manager's car in the parking lot. I mean, I just wheeled in, and it was a brand new car. He had just bought it. A month later, I'm driving on I-20. Now, how many of you are old enough to remember falls? The wigs that you could wear that sort of looked like a page boy. How many of you can actually remember those? Yeah, I had one. We all had one, didn't we? Well, I had a fall. And what I would do is, if I got up in the morning, and I had to get up really early to commute to Atlanta because it was about an hour's drive. So if my hair was real dirty and I didn't have time to wash it, I would just put bobby pins all over it, pin it up on top of my head, put my fall in. I had all this stuff that I clamped it down with and all these things I wore with it. Well, I had a wreck that day, and I flipped my wig. I was on I-20 in front of Grady Memorial Hospital, and I was doing about 60 miles an hour. Everybody was going about that fast, and all of a sudden, the car in front of me just slammed on the brakes. And then I slammed on my brakes, and I went, phew. I missed it by like an inch or two, and I looked up in the rearview mirror and watched a Cadillac hit me from behind, and I hit the car in front of it, and it hit the car in front of it, and it hit the car in front. We all got out, and the two ladies in front of me were looking at me sort of funny. It was cold that day, and the wind was whipping around, and I thought, my neck feels bare. And then I went, and I got back in the car, and I couldn't find it, y'all. It was on the back windshield. I don't know what kind of impression I made on my boss, but I had 2 wrecks within a month after taking that job. And before I took the job, we went on vacation for a week, and I dove into a swimming pool with my contact lens on, so I was a day late getting there because I was waiting on the... So those three things happened in 1 month. Well, finally, I had, according to Leon, I had had 7 wrecks. I would come home and tell him about the wreck, and he wouldn't say anything. He would just say, okay, you know, and he would call State Farm. And then after I'd had the 7th wreck, he sat me down and he said, Marie, we're not calling State Farm anymore. He said, I don't know how we still have insurance. He said, I cannot believe they have not canceled our policy. They haven't even gone up on the rates. He says, I had this stuff since before I married you, and you're not going to have any more wrecks. If you have another wreck, you're going to pay for it yourself. You'll just have to save up the money. You'll just have to drive a wrecked car and save up the money. I knew he meant business. So I was really trying hard, y'all. I tried very hard to drive correctly. Well, one Saturday morning, we'd like to sleep in, and he leaned over when we woke up and said, why don't you go over to Grandma's Biscuits and buy us some breakfast? I said, okay. So I got in the car and went over there, got our breakfast, got in the car, and I'm trying to be really careful. So I look to the right, and I look to the left, and I do it again just to make sure. And then I put it in reverse, and wham! I smacked right into the steel pole that held the Grandma's Biscuit sign. I got out of the car, and I looked at the damage, and there was this huge hump that was in the trunk of the car. And I got in the car, and I thought, what am I going to do? He's going to divorce me. I know he's going to divorce me. And I kept thinking, this is not a lie. I actually, for a few minutes, considered running away from home. I said, I'm just going to run away from home because I can't go home. But where am I going to run to? I just couldn't figure out where I would run to. So I analyzed my situation. I decided that the best way to get to a man is to turn on the tears. So I decided I would go home and cry really hard. Well, when I got home, I walked in the apartment and Leon was still in bed. And I went in the bedroom and I cranked it up really high and just started boo-hooing. And I was really manufacturing the tears because I'd already cried before I got there. Leon did not open his eyes. He said, how bad is it this time? I went for 35 years without having a wreck after that. The last time I had a wreck, I went to sleep at the Well on the way to see Kevin and Stephanie, and that was about 5 years ago or so. So that was the only wreck I've had since then. But I bet none of you are ever going to get in a car with me. The best advice I could give you is to call, let's talk about auto insurance first. Call your insurance agent and say, tell me about every discount you have that I don't have. Just tell me about all your discounts and tell me any of them that I don't have, and let's see if we can get them. Well, you can get all kinds of discounts through insurance. First of all, if you've had driver's ed or a defensive driving course. I know Kevin had driver's ed in high school, and then we all took a defensive driving course. And the driver's ed class reduced 15% off the premium, and then defensive driving course was another 15%. If you have more than one car insured by the same insurer, you can get a discount for the second car. But if you put your auto insurance together with your homeowner's insurance, then that will even give you another discount. So get your auto and homeowners with the same company. If you've been accident-free for a while, you can get a discount usually. If you're a senior citizen, if you're a good student, if you're a non-drinker, or if you have low mileage on your car, those are ways you can get discounts. When you get, now you get all this paperwork from the insurance company, but make sure you read the declarations page, because the declarations page has everything in it that you've been insured for. And if they made a mistake and they insured you for a Toyota truck and you actually have a Toyota car, then your car is not insured. So make sure you read that declarations page and make sure it's accurate. Now, probably the best advice I could give you that you may not have heard of before about how to reduce your premiums. When Kevin was 16, he started driving just occasionally. I had a car, Leon had a truck, and then we had this old beat-up truck that he had driven, and he saved it for Kevin so when he turned 16, he could drive it. But we didn't let him drive every day, just occasionally. Well, our premiums for all three vehicles at that time was $1,000 a year. When Kevin turned 16 and we put him on the policy, the premiums went up to $3,000 a year. Those of you who've got teenagers, you know what I'm talking about. It happens. And I thought, how in the world? $3,000, we're paying three times as much. So I remember at the time I was reading a book. I had bought this book called Wealth Without Risk. It was 600 pages long, and I'm reading this thing, and I'm thinking, oh, there's nothing in here that I don't know already. And then I hit on the insurance section, and it said, the best way to reduce your premiums is to increase your deductible. We had a deductible that was $250 at the time. Well, Leon wouldn't even file a claim unless it was at least $700 or $800. So why have a $250 deductible? I switched from $250 deductible to $1,000 deductible, and it shaved $1,000 off of our annual premiums. So instead of paying $3,000 a year, we were paying $2,000. It was well worth it. I told Kevin, I said, you can't have more than one wreck a year. One wreck a year will pay the deductible. Of course, you need to shop around for insurance just like you do for anything else. And not only that, before you buy the car, shop around for the insurance, because there's insurance is all different for all different kinds of cars. So some cars are much more expensive to insure than other cars. Sports cars are, for example. Insurance companies used to charge more for a red car than a white or a black car. Why? I guess maybe it looks sporty. Yes. Oh, really?
So it costs more to refinish a
regular. Oh, I figured it was because it made the car look flashy or something. And I didn't really know why.
No, there's gold in the paint.
Okay. Now, if you have an old clunker and it's worth less than $2,000, then you may want to consider dropping your collision and comprehensive. You have to have liability insurance, but you could drop the collision and comprehensive. But, of course, you've got to have enough money to replace the car if you lose it. One area is to have a good credit rating. Some insurance companies will base your premiums based on how good your credit is. Or you could just buy a car that's cheap to insure. Now, keep in mind, those of you who have teenagers, that teenagers can endanger your assets. I have somebody in my family who had a daughter who was totally out of control. She was into drugs and sex when she was in high school. She had a baby out of wedlock. Then she got married, stayed married just a few months, had another baby. And her husband got the child because she had proved herself. And she was driving from, she told her mother, she said, I want to drive your car to go pick up the baby 4 hours away in North Georgia. And she said, let me drive your car because mine's too unreliable. So JJ got in her car, drove to Atlanta, picked up the baby, and was falling down drunk on the way home, driving down the wrong side of I-75. She hit a car with three girls on their way to the beach, and they had to be airlifted to the hospital. It was touch and go for a couple of them, two of the three girls. And those parents proceeded until she was in prison. And my brother-in-law and sister-in-law lived in fear for several years that they were going to have everything taken away from them because legally they were at fault. legally. So regardless of who was driving the car, they let her drive it so they could come after, you know, the insurance company, anybody could come after them. All right, there's three things that you need to look at on your auto insurance premiums. The first one is collision, and that covers damages to your personal vehicle when you have when you collide with another vehicle. The second one is comprehensive, and that covers damages caused by anything other than an accident, like theft or fire or hail or vandalism or flood. We've been out west several times, and when we rented a car, they wanted us to buy hail insurance because it's so common there to have hail. And then the comprehensive comprehensive liability covers the damage that you do to others. And I wrote up here on the board, you'll see it, like you may see it as 100/300/50. You may see either two numbers or three numbers. The first number stands for 100,000, the second one's 300,000, the third one's 50,000. This is what the experts recommend that you have in the way of liability coverage. The first 100,000 is for per person, 100,000 of insurance, liability insurance per person. This is all in your lesson. The second one is 300,000, that's per accident. And then it's usually you're not required, but most people want to get the third one, which covers any other property that you damage. So the experts recommend 100,000, 300,000, and 50,000. And then there's the medical coverage, which covers medical expenses no matter who's at fault. And PIP. How many of you know about PIP? I bet you do, because it's required in the state of Florida. If you have good health insurance and good disability insurance, you probably don't need PIP, but the state of Florida requires it. It's one of the few states that does. And it's for medical expenses for you and your passengers, no matter who's at fault. And then there's the uninsured and underinsured motorist. If you get hit by somebody and they don't have insurance or they don't have enough insurance, this is going to cover your car's damages if you have the uninsured motorist or underinsured. Okay, here's some extras that can add to your premium that you may feel like you need or you may not need. One is rental reimbursement. If you have a wreck, it will pay for you to rent a car while you're waiting on your car to be fixed. But that's not a requirement. Roadside assistance. That's also an extra that's added, only if you tell them to. And then there's the gap coverage, which it pays the difference between what you owe on the car and its true value. So, you know, if there's a gap there, then it would cover the difference. So those three things are optional when you buy your car insurance. All right, let's talk about life insurance. Life insurance provides a death benefit to your family when you die. Actually, it should be called death insurance because you have to die to get it, and you don't get it. Your heirs get it. But it's the cash that is provided is a death benefit. And the proceeds of life insurance are tax-free and payable immediately, unless you go out and murder your husband so you can get the insurance. You should be able to get it immediately. Life insurance is designed to replace all or part of your income. Remember, your greatest asset is your earning power. So when you die, your family can pay for funeral expenses. They'll have money to meet daily living expenses, and then possibly, you know, you may need to educate your children. I knew a woman whose husband died in his 30s. They had four kids, and he had quite a bit of insurance. She got the insurance proceeds immediately, and she didn't have much sense. She had four kids, and she went out and bought a sports car, and within 2 years, she had spent every dime. And then they lived hand-to-mouth after that. Obviously, you need to know something about finances in case your husband passes away. Now, who needs life insurance? Not everybody needs life insurance. If you are married without children, you may not need life insurance. Now, if you're planning to start a family, I have a couple of young marrieds in here. If you're planning to start a family, you need to buy your insurance right away because it will be cheaper now than later after you have children. If you buy it while you're pregnant, it'll be more expensive than before you get pregnant. So yes, you need insurance if you're single and married and plan to have children. And if you're married without children and know you're not ever going to have any, then you probably don't need it unless you want it to pay your funeral expenses. Married with children, yes, you need it. And ask yourself, could my family live on what I make if my husband dies, or vice versa? So more than likely, you're going to need it. Single adults, the only reason why you would buy life insurance as a single adult is if you want someone to have enough money to bury you, and you don't have enough assets to do that, or if you are responsible for taking care of someone else. So if someone depends on you for income, that's when you need insurance, life insurance. So if you're single, or maybe you have a mortgage that's not paid off and you're going to pass it on to Uncle Joe, well, Uncle Joe doesn't want this great big mortgage, especially in today's market. It might be a short sale. So you might want the insurance for that reason. But usually single adults don't need the insurance, life insurance. Single parents, absolutely yes. As a single parent, you're the breadwinner, the caregiver, the cook, and the chauffeur. If you're a divorced woman, I would make sure that my ex had life insurance. And if he agrees to buy the life insurance so your children are covered, you're not going to know if he doesn't pay the premiums. So you might want to negotiate to have him give you the money and let you pay the premiums on the insurance. That way you know you've got it. And then lastly, small business owners, you need to... Small business owners need life insurance to take care of their family and protect the business. Years ago, I lived next to a lady next door to me whose name was Miss Lastinger, Clyde Lastinger, and her husband died in his 30s, and he was in business with a partner. The partner took it all. She didn't get a dime. She said, I had two kids to raise, and she had been a homemaker. And she said, she just lived. It was really, really difficult. She was very bitter about it. But he should have had a buy-sell agreement before he went into business with this partner and had some life insurance to cover the business. Years ago, we bought life insurance from a very big company that's well-known, has a great rating, and we were sort of sold on whole life. There's several types of insurance, but the two major ones are whole life and term. Well, the difference is term is just pure insurance. Whole life is insurance, life insurance plus savings. You're actually combining the two. And he sold us a whole life policy. Well, and then when Kevin came along, he told us we needed to increase our insurance. In fact, he told us before Kevin came along that we needed to increase our insurance. And we just couldn't afford to buy anymore. He never told us there was another option. He just kept insisting we needed more insurance. And after Kevin was born, Leon said, look, we are barely scraping by, and I don't have the money. He said, oh, I can take care of that. We can use the cash value is what you're building. It's a savings program. We can use the cash value to pay the premiums or to pay for the increase in the premiums. So that's what he sold us on and still told us we didn't have enough insurance, and we're going without enough insurance. Then in the mid-1970s, the media got a hold of what the actual rate of return is on the savings, the cash value of life insurance, whole life insurance. And it's abysmal. It's really pitiful, or at least it was then. It was. Let me give an example. I think we had this one on that little quiz that you took the first night. If you were a single 30-year-old married man with two kids, you could buy a term policy, $125,000 policy, for $7 a month. That's pretty cheap. If you bought the same policy, except it was a whole life policy, it would cost you $100 a month. Now, we could have bought a lot of insurance for what we were paying for that whole life policy. Why didn't this agent from this big company tell us any different? Because they make a lot more commissions on whole life than they do on term insurance. And that $100 a month that you would pay, there's the difference of $93 between the term and the whole life. The first 3 years, the $93 is going to pay commissions and fees. That's it. And after that, then you start earning some interest on it, and the interest is only around, the last time I read anything about it, was about 2.6% return. That's not a very good rate of return. Now, it was in the media over and over and over again. I kept hearing it on television, in the news, and the insurance companies responded by coming up with some new types of policies. So they came up with what's known as traditional whole life. They came up with something called universal life that has cash values, but the premiums are not fixed. And at some point, you can accumulate enough cash to cover the premiums. And it does give higher rates of return. In fact, the rates of return are around 4%. But that fluctuates with the economy. And then they came up with one that was even better that returns about 7%. It's called variable life. So those are the three main types, the traditional whole life, the universal life, and the variable life. The variable life also has cash values, but it's tied to the stock market because the money is in funds like mutual funds. So you know, of course, it can go up and down, and you can get a better rate of return in mutual funds than 7%. So I still don't know that it's a good buy. Most financial advisors will tell you, separate your savings from your life insurance. Buy term insurance. You can buy a lot of term insurance for a little bit of money and put your money into savings that is going to give you a better rate of return. Now, there are four different types of term insurance, which is just pure insurance. There's the renewable term, which you can renew, you can keep renewing it without having to prove your health. And there's the decreasing term, which has a fixed premium, but the face value of it goes down. Of course, when you're young and have small children, you need a lot of insurance. So I guess the idea there is that you can decrease the insurance as the years go by. The convertible term will let you convert from term to whole life without a health exam. And then there's one called return of premium. I don't remember, my mother had one with JCPenney. And she said, oh, this is great. I pay the premiums, and if I don't ever use it, then I get the money back. Well, you had to pay more for the premium, so that was the idea behind that. And then there's one type of insurance that is probably as important as life insurance, or maybe even more important than life insurance. How many of you are working? If you are working, you need disability insurance. Disability insurance pays if you get sick or if you have an accident. And it will pay anywhere from 50 to 70% of your salary. And if your salary is your greatest asset, your earning power is your greatest asset, then you need to find a way to buy disability insurance. And there's two types. There's short-term and long-term. Usually short-term is a year. You know, some kind of disability or sickness or accident up to a year. And then long-term picks up where short-term leaves off. You have a 1 in 5 chance of becoming disabled at some time during your working life. That's pretty big odds, 1 of every 5 people. You're going to either have a short-term illness that's going to be up to a year, or maybe totally disabled. And, you know, just think about all the people that you know who are disabled. You need disability insurance. Homeowners insurance, even if you're not a homeowner, you need to insure your personal effects, what's in the house, or in your apartment or your house or whatever, because your landlord is just going to insure the actual structure. They're not going to insure what's inside. So all of that, you know, all those computers and all that beautiful furniture that you've got and all your personal things, if they're destroyed in a fire or stolen or whatever, you can't call your landlord for that. So you need renter's insurance. And, of course, we've already said if you add your homeowners to your auto insurance, you'll get better rates that way. The biggest thing you need to remember about homeowners insurance is that you need to insure your house for 100% of the construction cost in today's dollars. Now, what if a lot of people just underinsure their house? They think, well, I'm going to save some on the premium. And, you know, if something happens, if it's not a total loss, then I'm going to have lost anything. Oh, yes, you have. If you, let's say you have, well, it's probably good to buy a house for $100,000 in West Palm, but let's just make it real simple. Let's say you have a $100,000 home and you insured it for $60,000, and you have a fire, and it didn't totally engulf the house, but you had $10,000 in damages. You'd get $10,000, right? Nope. You have the house insured for 60% of its value, you would get $6,000, not $10,000. You need to insure your house for 100%, not of what the real estate market says the value is, what it would cost you to replace it in today's construction dollars. Kevin tells me that if you have it in your house insured for 90% of the construction cost, then most insurance companies will get you by with that. They'll consider it 100%. He said the church insures for 90% of the value. But one year the premiums went up so high they couldn't afford 90%. But remember that because most people underinsure their houses. Okay, let's turn to page 63. Got 4 minutes and we got one scripture left. We're going to read Proverbs 27:12. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Insurance is one of those areas that we can save a lot of money in our budget if we know what we're doing and pay attention to the details. So next week, remember, what are you going to bring next week? A calculator and a pencil. The week after that, a calculator, a pencil, and a pair of scissors. Okay, we'll see you next week.